All right. So this is the last session. You guys made it to the end of the day. So many of you have been here since 8 o'clock. So a round of applause for all the speakers. I feel like, we're somewhat all some level of experts about blockchain and healthcare, but we still learned a lot today about DAOs, credentialing, drug supply chain. So today, we'll be talking about NFTs and the metaverse and how that applies in healthcare. My name is the host of the Health Unchained podcast, where I basically interview a lot of you folks, many of you in the room I've interviewed, including Daniel, about how blockchain and DLT can be applied in healthcare in many different ways. I will let Daniel introduce himself, and then we'll get started with a few questions. There is a demo video that we'll be showing as well, so looking forward to that, and hopefully some questions from you all. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Ray. I would like to thank you, Radhika. I mean, she was also supposed to be here in the panel, but she is with a health issue, so she was not able to come. But I want to thank Ray, Radhika, and Tori for this opportunity. So jumping right on it, my name is Daniel Uribe. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Genobank. So we looked into the NFT since 2018. Inspired my own personal story. I am a rare disease parent, as we know. My son was diagnosed in 2017 with a rare disease called Glanzman. So my background is in cybersecurity. I was already working in blockchain, basically in remittances. So I shifted and start looking how could I help in the genomics and the healthcare space. And very rapidly, I learned that there was a lack of biosamples for research, that biosamples were siloed and used as a competitive advantage. We have talked all morning and all day about that topic. So that was the easy part. Then we started working with NFTs. I had the privilege to know William Entryken. Maybe you have heard about him. William Entryken is the lead author of the ERC-721 smart contract. It's the most famous and deployed smart contract in the world. It's literally the template of all the smart contracts on Ethereum that are usually out there. And together we authored what we call bio NFTs. So bio NFTs are consent tokens that are published in the blockchain, in the Ethereum blockchain. So it's basically having digital rights for each biosample. So I have an example here, but that's how the story now goes.
Thanks, Daniel. Appreciate that. And sorry for the microphone issues before. Obviously, I'm not Radhika, and let's begin with some questions. So first off, as we know, NFTs are a major thing. Last year, there was a NFT sold for $69 million. It was a digital piece of art by Beeple. Obviously, this is part of the consumer trend that's happening now. But Daniel, can you answer, what is an NFT?
Well, in essence, I think it's a digital certificate. No, in essence, now, we talk, Dr. Leah talked about the fungibility and non-fungibility, which is basically how much friction there is in the market to interchange, right? So the example, obviously, that I always use is your genome, right? Your DNA. Obviously, my genome and your genome are non-fungible, right? We are different peoples, different persons from maybe different ethnicities, and in order to analyze me, your genome is not good, and vice versa. So they are not interchangeable. So that's how a digital certificate that correlates or relates to persons or entities, and we decide to publish that in the blockchain, is what I call an NFT. So an NFT is a verifiable cryptographical digital certificate that is published in the blockchain, so we can establish a relationship that usually has to do with a unique item. So in this case, again, I'm gonna speak. So we create an NFT representing a biosample tube a collection to, but in essence represents the digital rights that you have over these biosamples. So basically.
Awesome. And with NFTs, there are many ways to look at it. Like you mentioned, there are digital certificates in a way, but they can also be digital assets, music, right, and things like that. But if we focus on healthcare, what are some of the prime examples of NFTs in healthcare? We've discussed some of them today, but...
No, awesome. So before that, I would like to invite the audience to interact with the most basic NFT that I believe I know. So if we can show... If you could please be so kind to have this, and I'm sorry for the typo, symposium is not well written. But please claim this NFT if you made it up to here, right? It's a POAP, right? This is one of the most basic NFTs out there. So if maybe this is your first NFT, hopefully not, but if it is, that's a good opportunity. So I just created 50 for the sake of this. So first of all, the main thing is that you can control. So this is limited supply. And this QR code is very special because you are supposed only to show it to the audience and to be claimed, because it means you were here or you are here. It's a POAP NFT. It's a proof of participation token, right? So just this very simple NFT makes you wonder what can you do in terms of the healthcare. Like, this could be literally where somebody is attesting that you took your medication, or you have sensors and you have proof of taking your pill, or proof that you went to the doctor and you scanned the QR code or had your participation, and so on and so forth. So this is the amount of use cases are infinite. And in the last session, it was about incentives. So the idea is that if you want to incentivize people, you can simply offer POAPs. So if you're telling people, hey, come and participate in my clinical trial using this, the minimum thing that maybe some of people will expect is a POAP, right? It's a participation on a token on a clinical trial, so they can, brag about participating and being a hero in terms of showing their data. So I believe those are the type of things that we can, but specifically is to convert all the data into bioassets. And by saying bioassets, and the last session was very useful because the last speaker was about unlocking the value, right? So data not only can be siloed, but are also locked into the value that it can represent for society. So NFTs make this data set interoperable and also compliant with the GDPR and CCPA and all the privacy laws, because in essence they are programmable privacy smart contracts, right? At least that's the essence of our project. It's how you represent the consent of people, how do you represent the things you can do with this data using NFTs, and you can verify those publicly. And again, you can use other NFTs to improve or to incentivize other people to participate.
Awesome. So I think we have a pretty good idea of what an NFT is in terms of bioassets or bio-NFTs. But can you explain how that would apply in the metaverse?
Thank you. Of course. So to move on, let's play this video, the first video of place. So let's see how this is a real story that we have. This is a genetic testing company called Somos, and they offer people to so if you have a 23andMe or Ancestry DNA already data, or you have done that, you can download your data, right? So you can download your data, but it's still not a bio asset. So this company using our technology or our platform, they allow you to sign using your wallet, upload your data set, and first of all, claim ownership on your data set. Second, what happens is that the user issues an NFT, a consent NFT, toward the company. This means a lot in terms of legal and in terms of the status quo or what is going on. Because the fact that the company is receiving someone's genetic data and acknowledging that they receive it, acknowledging that they are receiving the consent, and also implies that the person is the owner, right? Because that's exactly what the smart contract does. In this case, it's an ERC 1155. So in this first video, we're showing that for us, this is the future. This is what every single company should do. If somebody's offering you a service using your data, the first thing they need to do is to recognize you as a data owner with an NFT, basically. And why an NFT? Because it's verifiable. It's a public, notarized transaction that everybody can verify. So obviously that's the change of the status quo. So that's the first thing. So bear with me, I'm going to go to the metaverse, but the first thing is to convert your data into a bio asset, right? So the next video, please.
Should we pause for questions? Because there was a lot of information there.
Okay,
yes. Does
anyone
have any questions at this point?
Like, for instance, we saw in the video somebody using a MetaMask wallet. Anybody has used a MetaMask or any wallet in this case to sign? Okay. Okay, so very few. But the thing that I wanted to highlight first is that there was no email, no name, no phone number. It's a user signing with their cryptographic wallet. And by doing that, you're using your private key basically to sign a message saying, I would like to claim that this data corresponds to me using my wallet where I may keep or may not keep other crypto assets in that wallet. We recommend that you use a different wallet, right? Actually, in our kits, we offer one of these cards. This is an NFC enabled Ethereum wallet that you just tap using your smartphone, and it's a cryptographic key in a chip. This is not our technology, this is Tangem's. This is we're partnered with Tangem. But what I'm trying to tell is that we offer an independent wallet so you can interact and keep your bio NFTs separate. Very, very, very quickly, in this second video, once you already have the file, this is the how we show your secure data vault. So we've been talking all day, and many, many companies are using the same initiative. But in my secure data room, right, I know that this bio asset is from Somos Ancestria. So I gave my consent to Somos. That's the document that represents what I signed to them as a consent, right? I can download my data, so I am HIPAA compliant from day one in that case. Of course, we want to acknowledge that there's all the encryption and everything additionally. But this is how a secure data room looks by only using your wallet, right? So obviously you have access to your own data, but most importantly, you have the relationship, and we know the laboratory as the permittee, right? You are the owner, and you have the right to know who has your data, what is the name of the laboratory, what is the name of the principal investigator, because actually the signature that you have there is from Dr. Federico von Sonderfernet. He is the principal investigator. The signature corresponds, and we as Genobank make sure that the signature is assigned to the legal representative of the laboratory. So in our network, only donors have the right or have the privilege of anonymity, right? But not researchers, not service providers. They need to be credentialized or be identified. The third video is just the third step is how the laboratory now consumes or sees or watches their bioassets. So in this case, there are four participants in this study. Let's say this is an ancestry study, and they can download the asset. The asset is stored encrypted, so they decrypt it using their private key, because the assets are encrypted using the public key. And again, they can download the consent that they have from the each of the participants. They know the owners. This is very, very important, and why you should do this with NFTs and not with the decentralized credentials. Because there is a column over there that says owner, and those columns has the public address of each of the owner. Why this is important? Because this is the new relationship you want to have with your donors or with your participants. Why? Because now you can do airdrops. You can incentivize them by giving cryptocurrencies. You can incentivize them by giving them a POAP, a participation token. You can invite them to your next conference in the metaverse, and here's how we come. So, one last video in terms of these actions, which is how the participant can revoke consent, right? So this is a very simple thing. They go into their secure data vault. They remove the consent. Everything is verifiable in the blockchain. And when they remove the consent, obviously something can happen. So they may lose their POAP, something, right? I mean, this is within the laws. In some laws, you cannot take the privilege. In some other laws, it's not specified. But this is completely customizable, right? So you can do whatever you want in terms of the law. I mean, as long as you. So once you have the governance in control, you have the compliance, right? This is the compliance part. Then hopefully, this is the fun part. And this is the last video I want to show you very quickly, because now you can create your room in what we call the Genoverse, right? So basically, our company provides the metaverse as a service for laboratory genetic testing companies, or even for patients. So in this case, if you again be so kind to scan the QR code, now it's a video. But if somebody's interested, I can rewind the video. But okay, thank you. So if we can leave a little bit this QR code, so you can join this demo. You can imagine that maybe this is your secure data room in the metaverse. Maybe you are looking for a researcher in Glanzmann thrombocythemia. So let's say this is my family's vault, right, in the metaverse. And I can make now an event and invite researchers throughout the world and say, hey, if you are a blood disease researcher, please come to my event. This is my data. Now it's my collection of bioassets. This is very important. And if you meet my criteria or you meet the standards of the privacy laws in our countries, you may have access to this repository. So that's one use case. Or it can be vice versa. Maybe I am a researcher and I want to address my patients, my anonymous patients or pseudonymous patients, and I am literally telling, hey, thank you for your contributions. These are your data sets, and this is what we have found, right? Everything in the metaverse. So you are keeping privacy. Nobody is, I mean, this is all avatars, except again, researchers and research entities needs to be obviously nominal. You need to know who are them. So just one more minute, if we can just show the video for those who didn't scan the QR code. It's a very, very simple demo. It only, you know, shows the room. But what is the important here part? They are, those are not typical visual NFTs. They are bio assets. They represent data. And more importantly, they represent rights. And you can program these rights and you can interact with different entities issuing different bio NFTs, right? So at the end of the day, we think that this is a new communication channel between patients and researchers, or even hospitals, or you know, like this, you can have, like for instance, we know a researcher, so this doctor is looking into nano rare diseases. So she only has 77 data sets. But these 77 are from people that has 1 to 30 probability to have the disease in the world. So in, among 7.8 billion humans, you only have these 77 persons, right? Why is she studying that? That's a different reason. But imagine how that collection would look in the metaverse, in the universe, and how important it is to open this type of forms. So with this, I will just...
Yeah, thank you for sharing all that. I think it's really cool to see a production-ready and live product here. So I just want to open up the floor to any questions that anyone may have about the product. Sure.
Thank you. Yes.
So the question was, why did you use Avalanche Network as your blockchain protocol?
Oh, basically the cost. So we were born in Ethereum, but we operate in Avalanche just because our customers are laboratory and genetic testing companies. So our promise to them is to charge a dollar or less than a dollar per NFT. Or per transaction. So we already have 30 laboratories using our technology, and we have tokenized 330,000 biosamples. So at the end of the day, we wouldn't be able to do that with two conditions. So the first one is obviously Genobank never has access to the data. We only see transactions coming and going. The secure data rooms are specifically encrypted by the public keys and the private keys of the users, laboratories and patients. And the second is the cost. So that's why we are using Avalanche. Yeah.
I think it's interesting that you mentioned this is an opportunity to use NFTs and metaverse to create a new communication channel between researchers, physicians, and patients. And I was just curious, what other sort of healthcare applications do you see happening in the metaverse?
Well, telemedicine obviously is the way. Like for instance, this is a personal experience just from last week. I had I started to feel a little bit of pain, right? So instead of going to the doctor because I had some challenge in my agenda, I just went and did an ultrasound, right? So I just went to the laboratory. The first thing I always ask is, can you do the ultrasound without my name? And everybody's like looking to go, why do you don't want to give your name? Because I don't want my data into the system, right? So until today, I have not met any laboratory that allows me to do the test without giving my real name, right? All my, so that's interesting because our technology allows exactly to do that. You can claim this DNA collection kit just using your wallet. It's privacy preserving, it's anonymous, completely anonymous, right? So. Well, that being said, I had my study, so thank God nothing wrong with my kidneys. I was suspecting there's something wrong with my kidneys. But the next thing that I would love to do is, let's say I had something, right? I would like to publish that into my metaverse and then literally crowdsource researchers in kidney, literally. Like say, hey, who can help me? Maybe some of them will say, hey, I need to be your doctor, right? In order to tell you something. But maybe there are some researchers that say, hey, like for instance, the doctor right there, that I obviously I cannot give you medical advice, but everything seems okay, you just need to go now to your doctor to, you know, have a clinical outcome or a diagnosis, a proper diagnosis. But I mean, this is the kind of solution that, as a rare parent, also you would like. You want to obviously open the data, but in a controlled and data broker free kind of world. You really just want to deal with people that really has the knowledge to help you, right? Or help your son, without or trying to remove as many opportunities as you can for other companies or entities to take advantage of. You don't want your insurance company, for instance, maybe to know this information, or maybe yes, right? I don't know. But the main idea is, I believe that's privacy. Privacy is control, 90%, at least in our opinion. So at the end of the day, is the metaverse for healthcare is the opportunity to change the table and say, hey, this is my data sets, who can help me in a very interactive and very kind of playful or gamified kind of version.
Awesome. This is my final question to you, and if there's anybody else who has any questions, we'll be here. You talked about the metaverse, and there's many companies trying to build the metaverse, right? And Facebook is one of them with Meta. How important is it that the metaverse is an open and decentralized place?
I believe that's that question, right? So I think that there will be many, many persons in the world that will still trust on Facebook, right? As much as personally I don't like Facebook because one of the biggest privacy mess or data privacy mess that we have is because of them, right? So now is like this company trying to reinvent itself to make peace with the world and saying, hey, now I care, now I'll admit NFTs, because now Instagram admits or can deal with NFTs, which is good. But still, the company, I don't know, I mean, I will not feel comfortable by dealing with Facebook. That being said, if I can find a researcher using Facebook, right? And again, the metaverse goes, and the metaverse they build is respectful about the rights that I am publishing in my smart contracts, in my NFTs, then I believe that's the best of the both worlds, right? You have the 2.2 billion users of Facebook that now you can interact with your assets, right? With your bio assets in this case, because many, many, many of the rare diseases groups, we are in a Facebook group. Actually, that's the most activity that we have is the Glanzmann thrombocytopenia Facebook group. And we are 330-something families exchanging whatever information we have, over-the-counter solutions. And now you can obviously see this like a potential DAO, right? This group is a potential DAO. And we could exchange their data and now have a room in the metaverse hosted by Facebook. I don't know, hopefully not. But then the DAO can hire or can invite researchers to participate and then look for solutions together. But the main thing, just a final, the main thing is if they are going to respect the NFTs, because the NFT, the smart contract, are the digital rights per biosample, per data set. And if companies are respectful of that, well, I believe that's the main atom.
Excellent. Thank you all for your attention. This concludes our session.